Let's bring in Nicole Zweier's vice chair, CATA academic bargaining team, and is with us now. Hello, Nicole. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
Hi. Thank you.
So is there a good chance that we could see a strike here? Is this just part of the process? What can you tell us, Nicole?
This really is just part of the process. With the 68% that you just mentioned, that is a strong indication from our membership that they want us to reach a settlement. We're not aiming for a strike, but our members have told us that we have their mandate. And so our aim still as the bargaining team is to get back to the bargaining table and to negotiate a fair, reasonable settlement that we believe is going to be the best for students as well as faculty.
What are the demands? What is there that, or what isn't there that should be there?
Well, right now, you may have heard this, there's a staggering statistic that was just released to us by the College Council. That's the body that is negotiating for the 24 colleges. 81% of all courses are being taught by contract faculty. That's precarious workers. Only 19% are being taught by full-time faculty. I'm a full-time faculty member, so I feel as though I'm a bit of a dying breed. And with those
Nicole, give us those numbers one more time, please.
81% of all teaching at the college level is being taught by contract faculty.
Hmm.
Only 19% of all teaching is being done by full-time faculty.
That would probably be like department heads, wouldn't it?
Full-time faculty are people like myself. We're professors who are in the classroom. We're the ones who are providing the consistency, the stability. We're providing reference letters. We're meeting our students outside of class. And unfortunately, although our contract faculty are very qualified, very esteemed members of the profession, they have no job security. They're applying for new jobs within the college every 4 months. They're paid very poorly, and oftentimes they're juggling a number of different jobs or different teaching colleges contracts at different colleges just in order to make ends meet, so they're not available to our students.
Are they people, though, that are professionals and perhaps still working in the profession and just doing the teaching on the side, like and like you mentioned, have several of this sort of things going on?
That's a very small percentage. So certainly the college system has always operated on the fact of some members of industry coming in
mm-hmm.
and teaching, but that's very, very small. And with only 19% full-time faculty, most of the 81% are wanting the full-time job. Also keep in mind that many of our full-time professors have very close ties with industry. We are constantly in contact with our industries that we come from, so we keep up to date and we're very knowledgeable in those industries.
Has this figure always been this high? Has it always been 19% full-time and 81% contract?
No, and I'm very glad you asked that question, and that's why we're really saying this is a college system in crisis at the 50th anniversary. In fact, just 3 years ago, at 2014, the numbers were 70% contract faculty and 30% full-time faculty. And unfortunately, what's happened over the past 3 years of our collective agreement is that a concession from the last negotiating round, which is one that the College Council wants to keep going for 4 more years as part of their offer, has resulted in this further decline from 30% full-time to only 19%.
This obviously all comes down to money, does it not?
It really doesn't. Wages have not been front and center at all. And what we're talking about is there's a Bill 148, which is being put forward in the legislature, and that is equal pay for equal work. It's about fairness. So the government is even recognizing that there really needs to be some redress for many different organizations, including colleges, that are not treating precarious workers fairly. So our issues have not been front and foremost about money. In fact, many of the things we've put forward, like having input into academic decision-making, are relatively cost neutral.
But I'm guessing the reason it's gone from 70% temporary to 81% in the span of a couple of years is because of cost effectiveness, no?
Well, what's interesting about that is that when you have such a large, unwieldy contract faculty that you're constantly interviewing for new teaching positions, you need a lot of managers in order to manage that. So what we've seen is a tremendous increase in the number of administrators hired in order to manage that workforce. Full-time workforce is relatively easy to manage. We're stable, we're consistent. Really, there is nothing further to do with respect to a full-time hire. Once you've hired them, you keep them with their classes, et cetera. But with 81% contract faculty, that is quite unwieldy and costs a lot of money to manage.
That being said, I'm still guessing it costs less to manage than it was if they would all be full-time staff, no?
Well, what we're saying is that, unfortunately, there certainly is underfunding in the college system, and I think that both sides of this would absolutely agree on that principle, and we're seeking to change that. So there is underfunding, there is limited dollars, but unfortunately, our position is that the limited dollars are being misdirected, and they're not being put in the classroom to the extent that they could be. There's no indication that college management sees a concern with only having 19% full-time faculty, and I think that's what's really concerning our members.
What reasons do they give you for only having 19% full-time faculty and 81% temp?
They do tell us that because of underfunding, this is what they're left with.
Right.
However, when we look at the sheer dollars that are being spent on an ever-expanding management sector, we're not sure that that really is accurate. In addition, most colleges are building bright new shiny buildings. Almost every college has put up within the last 5 years very new, very expensive, beautiful buildings that are very costly. And it was reported that every single college but for one, so 23 of the 24 colleges, are operating on a surplus.
As you mentioned, 50 years for Ontario colleges. How do you compare the past to the future? Obviously, this is, you know, I mean, the need for this is growing. You know, we're seeing this with the student body. What are the next 5 to 10 years going to be like?
That really is going to depend, I think, largely on these negotiations. I think that's why this is such a critical time and why our members have given us the mandate that they have, because what happens here is going to critically drive what happens in the next 5 years. And I think if you speak to any faculty member at a college, they'll tell you how fantastic a college education is. We really believe it, and we really feel that the success of our students is our success. So it's something we're very closely aligned with. But I think that operating on 81% contract faculty is just not stable, and it's not sustainable. It's not a long-term plan.
Why is that?
Well, I think what we're seeing is that the people who are 81% faculty have been hanging it out, have been toughing it out on the promise of a full-time position. But with these full-time positions getting less and less in terms of a percentage, they realize that there is actually no hope of a full-time position. So they're leaving. And so we're having an even greater turnover of contract faculty than we have in the past 5 years.
Can you see reversing this? I mean, going from 81 to 19 back to where it was in 2014? I mean, that sounds like it'd be a pretty costly proposal.
I think that it certainly it is possible. I think it has to happen. I think our students deserve it, and I think that employers also deserve it. The employers who employ our graduates are expecting the high quality that they've seen from the college system for the past 50 years, and they need to have it. Our economy needs to have it. So I think it's certainly possible if there's a will to do it. Again, we're certainly looking to lobby the government to get those much-needed dollars coming into the college sector. But again, we're also saying the dollars that are there need to be properly spent. And that could be done to reverse, at least in part, the very low 19% of full-time faculty.
Are university institutions having this problem, or is that a different kettle of fish?
I think it is a bit of a different kettle of fish, to be quite honest. I don't think that they're seeing anything like what we are, and I'm just gauging that by the shock when I say the numbers of the 81-19. So I don't think that universities are experiencing quite what we're experiencing in terms of that shocking amount of contract faculty.
I'm guessing, though, colleges would say, Nicole, that the reason this number is the way that it is often, as you mentioned, colleges are known for employing people that are in the industry and may do this part-time. I know colleagues that do it here. So, again, is that a viable excuse? Isn't that what makes this system healthy?
No, it is in small numbers, but not in the numbers we're seeing now. So certainly in the past, what would happen is we would always have a relatively small percentage and a very important percentage of people who, as you mentioned at your work, are coming in and they're teaching a course. And that's a great experience for our students. But to run a whole system on people who are not there and committed on a regular basis means that you can't contribute to the development of a program the same way. You can't be offering out-of-class assistance. You can't be ensuring that there's sound pedagogy through one, you know, first semester through to the last semester of a program. So it's always been noted, and it's always been recognized as being critically important that we have a contingency, a viable contingency, a stable contingency of full-time professors.
Do you think you can get worked into a deal, something that can change these numbers and move them from 81% to something more, in your words, sustainable?
I think we have to. Our members have told us that that is a very large concern that they have. Again, our members are really committed to our students, and we work with them every day.
These contract workers would still be in the union, obviously, would they not?
A portion of them is. It's interesting. We have three different categories of contract workers. So one of those categories is in the union, and those are people who are called partial load. They teach more than 6 hours, up to 12 hours per week. Mm-hmm. However, part of this instability, though, is that it shifts every semester. So, for example, you could be a contract worker, and this semester you could be partial load. No guarantee that you would be partial load. So you might be part-time, which is less than 6 hours or 6 hours or less. You could be sessional, which is more than 12 hours. So you're in and out of the union. Mm-hmm. It's inconsistent, and that's part of the instability.
Playing devil's advocate here, what would you say if people say this is just unions trying to increase their membership, it's not about education?
I understand that, and I'm glad to hear you say you're playing devil's advocate. This really, I don't think you can think of too many stable environments where it relies on an 81% precarious work sector.
That does sound a little high, doesn't it?
It really does, and I've spoken to some of my colleagues who are professors in business, and so these are numbers people. These are people who eat, breathe, and sleep business theory. Many of them are very well educated in business. And I've said to a number of them in my talks, because I want to understand more, is there any sustainable business model for these kind of numbers? And I have been absolutely assured there is not. And I think that is the case. And I do believe that the public hearing these numbers would be very alarmed to think that they're going into a classroom where this is the kind of lack of stability that we're dealing with.
Where do you think this is going, Nicole?
I really hope for a settlement. I do. I think we've worked very hard. We've been open to having negotiations where we're really talking. We're reasonable people, and we're open to having any kind of discussions that will get us to a fair settlement. So with that kind of approach, I'm really hopeful that we will be able to negotiate something that's sound and fair, but that certainly addresses our concerns and the 19% being part of those concerns.
Nicole Sweers has been with us, Vice Chair, CATA Academic Bargaining Team. Of course, Ontario College faculty members have voted 68% in favor of a strike mandate if they have to go that far. Nicole, thank you for the time and insight.
Thank
Much
you.
Appreciated.
Okay, take care.